Hi, welcome everyone to Rabbi Benny's class tonight on Tehillim. It's the 20th class in the series, and we're looking forward to the shiur. Rabbi Benny will be giving the class in memory of his father-in-law, who unfortunately passed away from COVID this week, Alain Halevi. So he will start with a few words about his father-in-law. Before Rabbi Benny gets on, I'll just say one nice point that was really special was that 8 years ago he moved to Israel, and he really had a beautiful relationship with Rabbi Benny and his daughter Nadine, with the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. So it was real schut that he had those 8 special years in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Benny, if you could tell us a bit more about your father-in-law, we'd appreciate it. And we look forward to hearing the Shiur lesson 20. And the source sheets are in the chat if anybody would like to look at them.
Thank you, Susan. Brochim abayim. It's with pain that he passed away Sunday at the age of 95. He was born in France to a big, big Jewish Yekish family. And during the war, they escaped to Switzerland. His mother was from Switzerland, where they were saved. And they lived there all the years. I met Nadine, my wife, there in Bnei Akiva. And he was always, we are from a Polish family. And he was very open-minded, a very solid Yekke, and a very open-minded for the Ostjuden. And we had a very special relationship. He took care wonderfully of his wife when she was ill. And 8 years ago, at the age of 87, he decided to come for Aliyah. And he lived here in Yerushalayim. And we had the zchut of that our grandchildren had a wonderful relationship with him. You see, he fulfilled the pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, Ureh Vanim Levanecha. Ureh Betuv Yerushalayim. It's a double vision of Ureh Betuv Yerushalayim. He finished his, he had his last year he spent in Yerushalayim and walked and enjoyed the family and the community. And he saw a lot of grand and great grandchildren. It was a big schut. He was sick with corona, and I got corona from him, so I'm not sure how good and how active I will be tonight. It might be shorter if I'm not into it. What I want to say about my dear father-in-law, that he had a very special proportion to see things in life in a very good context. And this perspective, I will talk later on Yosef, that's his first name. I will talk about Yosef in Mizmor Kuf Hei, so I will talk Tehillim, but you will understand I'm talking about him. Yehi Zichro Baruch. I want to talk today about a very special unit, chapter 105, 106, and 107. These three chapters create together a trilogy, and they are, in the classical way of Hegel, are a typical thesis, 105, and antithesis, 106, and synthesis in 107. I will explain that later. It is a masterpiece of text and the masterpiece of philosophy and messages. And that's exactly at the transition of book 4 to book 5. Book 4 closes with chapter 106. So we have two chapters, 105 and 106, at the end of book number 4. It's the closing. These two chapters are similar, and they are called twin psalms. There are some mizmorim who are typical features of twins. We will see another example in the fifth book, Zwillingspsalmen in German. They are connected very, very strongly, but they show different perspective. And the new chapter, 107, combines them at the opening of book 5. So that is a very masterful view. We have to learn all the three chapters, which is not possible in 1 hour. Each chapter has about 100, has about 45 psukim in an average. So I'm not capable to read and to explain 135 Psukim, but I would like to give an overview and show this great method of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis here. There are parallels with the Chronicles, with Nehemiah, as we should see. And I would like to focus next shiur on Mizmor 107 again, but focusing not on the triad of the trilogy of 105 to 107, rather on the structure of this Mizmor, its location at the beginning of chapter of the fifth book, which is really the beginning of a wonderful happening of the return to Eretz Yisrael. So that is the focus of the shiur today, 105, 106, 107, as a trilogy, and to compare them in a unit. There were questions last time and in the questionnaires about the search system. And I want to present two of them, which I work with for a long time. I use primarily Responsa, which is probably the oldest one, a very powerful search system. There are excellent features to each system, and Al HaTorah has other features. They are freely available. The way you look at it like that, there is a lab, Ma'abadat Tanakh, the Tanakh lab, which is very powerful and has other features, and the Dikta, where you will find a lot of online explanations. I want to show you now a short example of the Responsa program, and I go here to the system, just a moment. And I want to search, where are the words? For example, I search the words Imrat and Tzaref. Why? You will see later, as I will show you, that this pasuk is of great interest. The combination, not only of one word, I search for the word Tzaref and Imrat. And I could search them here as a shoresh, the root of this word, and here with combinations imrat, at the distance of two words. And I insert here all the Bible. I can search only in Sefer Tehillim, and I can search the entire Bible. So there are many options how to search. It needs some skills how to use it. And if I search it here, you see the word imrat tzrufa appears in Kuf Hei. We will see this pasuk later in the shiur, at 8, Bo Dvaro, Imrat Adonai Tzarafatu. The word Imrat Hashem Tzaruf, Tzaref, Tzrufa, appears once in Tehillim and in the parallel in Shmuel, and one more time in Tehillim and once in Sefer Mishlei. So that's a finding. I can say for sure this system is very powerful. I couldn't find a lot of examples where something was missed. Might be it was a mistake in searching. I can tell almost for sure, these are all the occurrences. If we go to Al HaTorah, which I will not present now for sake of time, if we go to Al HaTorah, we will see that there are many other features that I can compare two different texts together. So it's important to know the system, the search systems, their power, the sources, and how to put it all together. And it's extremely helpful. It is fascinating how much we can search, and I guess there are more statistical work on that. But I think we have to, as I explained last time from Amos Chacham, Zichrono Livracha, still the best search system is to learn it. Kim betorat Hashem chifzo, it's not a search, that's not a scholarship that we can find and resolve with a good search system. What we have to do is to understand the words and to let them make an impact on our understanding, on our awareness, the memory, in order to really understand the connections. And today that I have more, I'm more familiar with Sefer Tehillim, I find it on my own. And afterwards, I search in the system, and very often it happens, whoops, it was correct. It happened. Of course, I don't rely on my memory, so the search system is an important support, but not necessarily, I wouldn't use it as the only power, otherwise we get addicted to statistics, and that is not the idea. I actually think that for my research on Sefer Tehillim, I need good experts who can help me with the statistics of search in a text. Statistics has many applications. In a text, We have to know which word is specific, appears only twice. And in the introduction to the big book, to my big book, I'm actually preparing a few roles which are based on the experience of searching them, which appear only once, or we have an entire pasuk, which appears twice. If we have an entire verse which appears only twice, it's not necessarily a challenge for the search system. It's a challenge how to explain it. And both these examples I want to apply later in the talk as a method. Let's now talk about the fourth book. It is our last lecture on the fourth book. The fourth book has a special profile, and we discussed it. I want to review part of it, but there are some new aspects as I try to do in my summaries. We remember Sefer first and second book. King David, very dominant in the first one, quite dominant in the second book. And afterwards, King David reappears in a crescendo, once in the third book, twice in the fourth book, in the fifth book, three times, four times, and eventually twice, four times, eight times. And the last mizmor is a Tehillah le David, Tehillah le David connecting it to this unit, and Tehillah connecting it to the following, therefore connected here also in the English version. We will see that there is more and more Hallel v'Hoda'ah from the end of the fourth book, the beginning of the fifth book, in a very, very meaningful way, very, very, very specific and clear intentions that we can recognize here. And the Hallel and Hoda'ah, which is at the 105, 106, 107, gets louder and louder, as I show with these arrows here, with these triangles, in the Hallel HaMitzri, Hallel HaGadol, and Psukei de Zimra. We will talk about that in the next shiur. But what is important to recognize here, that in the end of the fourth book, there is a beginning of that. Therefore, the doxology of this book, as you can see here, has the first time not only the Amar Kol Ha, not only as in all other doxologies, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Min HaOlam Ve'ad HaOlam, Amen Ve'Amen, it has the Amar Kol Ha'am, Amen, and now the entire nation, as we see at the end of the fourth book, the first time the Amar Kol Ha'am, Amen, Hallelujah. It's not the Amen and Amen as we have before. It is an amen that the entire nation supports. Because now everybody, King David is gone, he is not alive anymore, but now we want to recruit the entire nation, and we call it the democratization of the David concept. That's the way the scholars called it. I think it's a nice term. It's not only King David who said it, it's the entire nation who says Ve'amar Kol Ha'am. And it's not only a statement of emunah, amen ve'amen, it's a statement we will go and praise. We start saying Tehillim at the full picture. Tehillah, hallelujah, starts in chapter 104, and from here it gets more and more frequent. So there is an important transition at the end of the fourth book. Before the fourth book and after the fourth book, we have a very, very special envelope, and within the fourth book we have a special envelope. We said that in an earlier shiur, just in the mizmor before the fourth book, chapter 89, the mizmor begins after the heading Lamaskil Itan Ha'Ezrachi Chasdei Adonai Olam Mashira. The word Chasdei Hashem appears only twice in Sefer Tehillim. So that is the search. If we go into the search system, I can learn only twice in Sefer Tehillim and once in Sefer Yeshayahu. Chasdei Hashem appears right after the fourth book. Mi chacham v'yishmor eile v'yitbonenu chasdei Hashem. Who is the smart man, who is wise, will keep these matters and ponder the kindness of the Lord. So whatever we had here from the time of the memory of the first temple will continue in the second temple period, but we have to remember it. That is a very meaningful frame of the book of book four outside. It's the first book. It's the first mizmor in the chapter before, and it's the last pasuk in the chapter afterwards. A perfect, very, very accurate symmetry. That is outside the fourth book. Within the fourth book, we have at the beginning the prayer of Moshe, Tfilah LeMoshe Ish Elohim, and he prays, V'hinachem al avadecha sab'enu baboker chazdecha, to repent about our servants and his your kindness. And that's exactly the word that we have at the very end of the fourth book within. It is Moshe who saved Am Yisrael from Kilia, from the destructions because of their misbehavior. And Vayomer lehashmidam lulei Moshe bechiro vayizkor lehem brito vayinachem kerov chasadav. These three words together appear only here and there. The meaning is that based on Moshe Rabbeinu, his name appears in the entire book of Tehillim 8 times and 7 times in the fourth book. We can say the fourth book is the book of Moshe, or Moshe's memory, the back to the memory of Moshe. David is killed. The first temple period is all destroyed. The temple is destroyed, is exiled. Moshe is still around. We have him another time at the end of chapter 77, and we discussed it only once. And all the other 7 times are in the fourth book. It is back to the Torah of Moshe, which the fourth book is coming to teach us. Now, I want to show in these slides an overview on the entire book on a very low power. I go now to a little bit higher power of the fourth book. And the fourth book has, I will go afterwards to higher and higher power. We see here in the fourth book a clear structure. There are 3 different elements or 3 steps how to recover and after the Churban. The Churban is in 89 summarized. We discussed it. Moshe comes, and in chapter 90, Tfilah LeMoshe Ish Elohim, we pray and we go back, a reorientation back to Moshe. The same way he saved us in the desert 40 years and took us out from the exile to Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what's going to happen in the motif of the fourth book. Back from the out of the exile, back to Eretz Yisrael. It's a long journey in the desert, like 40 years. Chapter 95, and back after the walk, after the journey in the desert, in the Second Temple period, Midbar Ha'amim to Eretz Yisrael. That is Moshe, back to his kingdom and to Hashem's kingdom and to Torah of Moshe. We include all the nations. It is from a national, it gets a universal message of the Torah. We discussed that in last week's shiur. And the third unit from 101 to 106, 207, to 206, 107, shows that we are ready to go back, the return to Zion, under the leadership of King David. Am Yisrael is following him. The old nature gets a new appearance. And we learn about history before returning when we pray to get back to Zion. And we see here in the blue box that the 3 mizmorim have the same, more or less the same size. On my big handout, the huge wall of the fourth book, they are more or less the same size. And we will look at that later in more details. And now I want to show you how these mizmorim, or these units, are strongly connected. We discussed that, but there are a few new aspects, as you will see here. I told you the story about 101 to 106. And we saw that the words King David comes back in chapter 101, very modest, very quiet. His little team, his home, honest people, they work very quietly to lahachzir atara leyoshna, to bring the kingdom back to Am Yisrael. That's chapter 101. But also the single citizen, the private citizen in chapter 102, as we discussed last time, he is coming back. And he is inspired by King David in previous chapters, as we saw. Chapter 103, King David, his legendary personality, the figure of King David, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, after his death, he gets excited with the return to Zion. Barchi Nafshi Et Hashem, he blesses with his soul. He encourages others to bless Hashem. Barchu Et Hashem. Barchu Hashem. Bachinafshi et Hashem. He talks about history in chapter 105, 106. And here we see that 105 and 106 have a crescendo. They start with Hodu, Lashem, Kiru Vishmo, Odiu Vamim Alelotav, and it ends with Hallelujah. 106, Hallelujah, Hodu L'Adonai Kitov, Kilolam Chazdo. And it has a Baruch Hashem formula as here. And at the end, Hallelujah. And afterwards, that's the end of book four. At the end of book four, we have the transition to the book five, where it continues, Hodu L'Hashem Kitov, Kilolam Chazdo, and we have the story. We will focus on that later on. So here we have now the handout, which I shared with you. It's a huge handout. It has all the details, and it looks like that, the handout. You see here the entire handout. It is a double A4 format, A3. You can print it out from here and see the entire text of the three Mizmorim. That is the end of book four, and here's the beginning of book five. And below, I showed the analogies between 105 and 106, between 106 and 107, and between 106, 105, 106, and 107. These are very, very meaningful analogies. I searched them with the search system. I didn't include, of course, every word that comes up. I included only those which have a certain specificity and the meaning, statistically, or as you will see, the same word used, a rare word, in a new meaning, in a new context. And that is, in my opinion, one of the wonderful insights, text, literature of the Bible, poetry, but it's also philosophy. It teaches us how to see history in different perspective. That's really a great experience. And I want to show you, I cannot elaborate it in much detail, each mizmor, as I said, but I want to give you the overview. If you look at chapter 104, it gives the ideal picture. What is the story of Am Yisrael? What was the purpose of Hashem? What was his vision for Am Yisrael? He took them out of Egypt because there is a promise to Avraham. And the promise to Avraham is, wherever you will be, you will come back. One of the examples, one of the figures is the exile in Egypt and Yosef. He was the leader who brought us out of Egypt. And afterwards, he took us through the desert till they came to Eretz Yisrael. In the last Pasuk, it says in verse 42, Ki zachar et dvar kocho et Avraham avdo. Hashem remembers Avraham and brings Am Yisrael back. Why? Am Yisrael should be there with joy. Vayotze amo besason berina et bechirav. And he gave them the land. He gave them the land. Why? In order to keep the Torah. Hallelujah. That is an ideal picture of Am Yisrael should be with the Torah Israel in their own homeland. That's the thesis. That's the statement. Chapter 106 repeats again history and says, who can tell us the history of the Jewish people? Oh, our parents, when they were in Egypt, they did not understand. Chapter 106, Pasuk Zayin says, Avotenu b'mitzrayim lo hiskilu nifleotecha, lo zachu et rov chasadecha, v'yamru al yam b'yam suf. They did not listen. There was a disobedience. And Datan v'Aviram, and the Meraglim, and there was a lot of disobedience, and they were punished. But at the end, God, they prayed to Hashem, and God brought him back to Eretz Yisrael. The antithesis is, if you don't follow the ideal value, the way Hashem wants it, there is a punishment. However, despite the punishment, there is a way of tshuva. And if you pray to get back, Hashem will listen and will fulfill that. That is the message of 106. The antithesis is, despite that you did not follow the idea, Hashem, if you pray, will forgive you. And therefore we pray, Hashem, please bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of the Midmor, it says, Hoshi'enu Adonai Eloheinu v'kapceinu min hagoyim, bring us back. After these two statements, what is the best way, the ideal way? And what is the way if Khalilah we do not follow, which is the theory, comes chapter 107 and says, oh, Hashem, we thank you. We came back. If the two chapters, 105 and 107, are the theory and the ideas of what's the vision of Hashem, what is Hashem's plan, what happens if we don't follow 106, his plan, chapter 107 is not a theory. Chapter 107 opens a new chapter, a new book, and says, and now we came back. It's not theory, it is our story. Chapter 105 and 106 tell the history of Am Yisrael, a religious history from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, the ideal way, 105, the way of Chataim, of sins, 106. Despite the sins, there is a way to get back if we pray and change our behavior, 106. That is message from the history. Chapter 107 is not history, it's our story. It's a huge difference if we tell historical facts in the history, where we can learn from, and we tell in 107, not the history, we tell our story. And very meaningful at the end, as we shall see in next week's shiur, at the end we say in chapter 107, Halevai, we should have the insights. Mi chacham v'yishmo eile v'yitbonenu chasdei Hashem. We should chas v'shalom, not misunderstood history, and miss the great meaning of our historical situation, because now it's our reality, it's not past history. So this combination I would like to show you in the next slides, which is a very meaningful insight. As I told you, I think if you take the big handout, which I showed you, or you just read in your Bible, and you read it over and over and over, and search the context, what are the shared words, you will see how meaningful these are constructed. And there is obviously a message to read them together as a trilogy, which is, in my opinion, a masterpiece. Most Parshanim, I don't know any of the classical Parshanim who paid attention to this beautiful structure of the conclusion of the fourth book, the good piece of history, the way Hashem wanted it, and Moshe, the failed way of history, 106, our sins, but Moshe saved us, because 40 years in the desert, the hero of the fourth book, Moshe, from the beginning, Tfilah LeMoshe Elohim, Ish Elohim, to the end, it is Moshe who tried to fix our sins and to show us the way, despite the sins, to get to Eretz Yisrael. That happens also in chapter 106. Chapter 107 shows now, it's our opportunity, our very special privilege that we can get back. Let's remember 105 and 106 before we go back, before we turn to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very meaningful message. Chapter 107 is recited today for Yom Ha'atzmaut. Some say for Yom Yerushalayim. The Sfaradim say it for Shvi'i LePesach after the exit from Egypt. It's really a meaningful, relevant message. The return to Zion in our days. Do not read 107 on its own. Read it as a continuum from 105 and 106, which give the historical insights and the religious messages how we should create and design our future when we really come back, Shivat Zion. I would like to show that now with a few examples, which I highlighted here. But before we show these examples, let's say a few words about intertextuality. And I want to show you here, we showed this slide at last week's shiur at the introductory note. Intertextuality, which is a main focus of these series, what are the specific words, the search system? I want to show you here an insight by Abravanel. And Abravanel, a wonderful commentator from Spain, he lived at the time of the expulsion from Spain, a wonderful figure, a political figure, a leader, a commentator, a philosopher, outstanding commentary. And he was one, I'm not aware of any other commentator who tried to give an overview of the book. Unfortunately, he didn't write on Tehillim, but he gave a wonderful introduction to Sefer Melachim, the Kings, and compared it to Sefer Divrei Hayamim. And he shows that at the end of Divrei Hayamim, we have the Hatzarat Koresh, the declaration of Cyrus. And he shows that at the beginning of Ezra and Nehemiah, at the very opening of these two books, which describe the return to Zion at the time of the Second Temple period, we have Hatzarat Koresh. So there is an overlap. And he says, where Divrei Hayamim closes, that is where Ezra and Nehemiah continue. So this overlap is very meaningful to say that that's the continuum. And whatever is presented in Divrei Hayamim has a focus to tell the story of the Jewish people in the First Temple period with the eyes and the perspective of Ezra and Nehemiah at the Second Temple period. He says that in a second note to his introduction to Sefer Melachim. A beautiful, beautiful section there. So in Sefer Melachim, we have the historical facts and dates. What happened in the First Temple period? The end of Sefer Melachim is the last king was brought to the exile. He suffered there. He was blind. And that was the end of Sefer Melachim. It's the end of the kingdom, Sefer Melachim. Sefer Divrei Hayamim is not the end of the kingdom. Is the memory of the kingdom, and the kingdom is now about to open, to continue with Hatzarat Koresh, with the declaration of Cyrus, that this kingdom is coming back. So Divrei Hayamim is a rewriting, a retelling of the history of the First Temple period and presented at the Second Temple period. What are the differences? The topic of our Shi'ur is not Divrei Hayamim and Melachim, but it's a beautiful example which will serve us to understand Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Divrei Hayamim tells us with more insights, introspections, what do we learn from the First Temple period in order to build the Second Temple period? That's a totally different perspective and viewpoint than Sefer Melachim. And of course, we remember King David. If Ezra and Nehemiah built the temple, the Second Temple, their model is, their template is David from the First Temple period. We shall see that Sefer Tehillim makes exactly this transition, remembering the First Temple period in Sefer Shmuel and Melachim. We remember King David as our hero, but actually how does he lead us in the Second Temple period based on what we learn in the First Temple period? So taking the words of Hatzarat Koresh at the end of Divrei Hayamim, according to Abramanel, is the link, the overlap, to put that together. You will see in a moment why this rule is so important to me. Because the trilogy of 105, 106, and 107 starts with the pasuk, Hodu l'Adonai kir'u v'shmo, hodiu v'amim alilotav. We say these psukim in Tfilat Shacharit. These are the opening words. Give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his name, publicize his deeds among the nations, among the people. That is the opening of 105. So this pasuk, the entire pasuk, appears in Sefer at the beginning, as you see here, at the very beginning of this trilogy. How interesting that the entire pasuk is taken from Yeshayahu. A short chapter. We have now the opportunity to read with six psukim an entire chapter in Yeshayahu. V'amarta b'yom hahu odcha Adonai ki anafta bi. Yashov apcha utenachaneini. Hine el Yeshuati eftach velo efchat ki ozi v'zimratya Adonai v'yehili li Yeshua. ושפתם מים בססון ממעייני הישועה, ואמרתם ביום ההוא, הודו לאדוני קראו בשמו, הודיעו ועמים על לילותיו. הזכירו כי נשגב שמו, זמרו אדוני, כי גאות עשה מודעת זאת בכל הארץ. צהלי ורוני יושבת ציון, כי גדול בקרבך קדוש ישראל. We have here the same pasuk, and you shall say on that day, Yeshayahu from the first temple period says, whatever bad will happen to you, remember, God will remember you. And despite that we are punished, it will come back that you will say the same words from Kriyat Yam Suf. God is my strength and he has been my deliverance. That's a quotation of Shirat Hayam, Exodus 15. The same way you saved us from Egypt, says Yeshayahu, there will be a future that Hashem will bring you the deliverance to Yeshua. And at that day you will say, Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo, Hodiu V'amim Alilotav. Why? Because Am Yisrael will get back and you will sing for Hashem and Hashem will be in Yerushalayim. So why is this pasuk mentioned in two places? A lot of commentators say, oh, it's mentioned here, it's mentioned there, that's it. A lot of commentators don't even mention that. A lot of commentators ask the question, who influenced whom? And I think we need here for the contextuality, not only observe, oh, we have a good search system, it appears only at these two places. We need much more for that. We need to understand that there is an intention by the Bible. If the trilogy in Sefer Tehillim starts, Hodu l'Adonai kiru vishmo hodiu v'amim alilotav, by quoting Yeshayahu, the trilogy says, we start our trilogy with the motto, with the key concept, which Yeshayahu said. Once there will be a Yeshua, we remember the time of Egypt, that we were saved in Egypt, Ozi v'zimratia v'hili l'Yeshua, but we will declare it to all the nations. And we will remember this Yeshua as a historical event of Shivat Zion. That is what Yeshayahu says at the first temple period. Now comes Sefer Tehillim and says, at the beginning of the Shivat Zion period, we are in the exile. We pray in the exile. What's our attitude to pray for the exile? Remember the way Hashem wanted to see the Geula, 105. That's the vision, the thesis. Remember what happens if it's going wrong, 106, the antithesis. And how should we go for that if it happens to us in our history, that history gets our own history in 107? We should remember Yeshayahu. So the trilogy is actually totally under the motto of Yeshayahu. Let's do it right the way Yeshayahu wanted that from us. So this analogy is not just we had a good finding with our search system. It has an unbelievable message. And what I said before, that the search system is important, is very important. I wouldn't be able to do whatever I explain here, but we need to explain it. And here we have a very powerful explanation. In the same way that the declaration of Cyrus closes Divrei Hayamim and continues the period of Ezra and Nehemiah, I took this as an example. In the same way, whatever Yeshayahu said about the future, which he didn't spell out, that is exactly what we have to do now at the time of Shivat Zion. When we come back, 107, we have to remember Yeshayahu and all the messages and the legacy from the Torah and from Yeshayahu. I want to show you now another example of such an analogy. And here the other search system, which I mentioned, Ala Torah, has a very good English explanations. If we compare chapter 105 and 106, we have a few words which appear only twice in the Bible. And they appear only one more time, 105 and 106, which are defined as the twin Mizmorim. They appear in Nehemiah. Nehemiah brought together all priests and he called them, Kumu barachu et Adonai Elohechem, min haolam ve'ad haolam, v'yevarchu shem kvodecha u'merumam al kol bracha u'tehila. And we say, Atah Hashem levadecha, Atah asit et ha'shamayim, shmei ha'shamayim, and so on. And the terms here is, remember history. You chose Avraham. You brought him to Eretz Yisrael. You promised him the land, and you found that he is a straight person. He is a good role model for Am Yisrael, and you made a brit with him, a covenant with him. V'charotimo habrit latet et Eretz Haknani. And afterwards, Nehemiah tells the whole story, the whole history of Am Yisrael, the light at night in the desert, and you gave them bread, lechem min hashamayim, as you read in the parasha. But unfortunately, Am Yisrael did not remember all the miracles which you did for them. And they made the Egel HaZahav idolatry. And they continued to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'lo shavu mim'al lehem hara'im. And they did not walk away from their bad behavior, from their misbehavior. What is Tehillim saying? Exactly the same. 105 says that's the way it should be. Remember Niflotav Asher Asa. These four words appear only here and only here. Nowhere else in the Bible. And you remember Brit with Avraham. Asher karat et Avraham ushvuato leYitzchak eten et Eretz Knaan ve'esh la'ir la'ila, the fire at night to show the way in the desert. That's the way, the ideal way. Exactly as in Nehemiah. 107, 106 tells, unfortunately, our parents, our ancestors in Egypt did not understand the miracles. They did not understand the message. They had an Egel HaZahav, and they failed to do whatever they were expected to do. Vayiznu b'ma'alelehem. And look how beautifully the same word ma'alelehem means their action, Alilai's action. We should go hodu l'Adonai kir'u v'shmo, hodiu v'amim alilotav. Go to all the nations and thank Hashem for all the actions he did to lead us, alilotav. But we failed with our ma'alaleinu, with our behavior. So whatever is said in Nehemiah as one prayer is put in Tehillim in a dialectic way in 105 and 106. We remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, but we remember what should we do with the memory of Yetziat Mitzrayim in our day. If it happens to us again, how should we show that we do it in the right way? That is what 105 and 106 want to teach us. And here is something very, very interesting, which is not a topic of our class on Tehillim, but there was notes in the questionnaire. How does that reflect in the Siddur? I started my research in the Siddur over 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, 9 years ago, I started to go for a long journey on Tehillim to understand better the Siddur based on Tehillim. It took me 9 years so far, and I'm not yet done. I want to show you here a wonderful, wonderful insight. I think it was worthwhile to research on that 10 years to understand the Siddur. We start every day Psukei de Zimra with Hodu. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Before Baruch Shama or afterwards. Spardim Ashkenazim. It doesn't matter. Hodu Lashem Kitov. And we say afterwards 145 to 150. Psukei de Zimra. Tehillah le David, which we will learn at the very end. And after these six Mizmorim and Tehillim, the end of Tehillim, we say Nehemiah, the ninth chapter Nehemiah, exactly what you see here, part of it. Atau Hashem levadecha. That's where we start. And afterwards we say Shirat Hayam. What is the meaning of the Siddur? The meaning is very, very simple. Before we go and pray to Hashem, we remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. And of course, that is the model, the historical template at the very beginning of the history of the Jewish people. But we take that not only as a one-time event historically from Egypt, out of Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, that is something which has an ongoing message for us, for our daily life. How do we continue this for every generation, for every day, in every life? That's exactly what Hodu comes to teach us. We can go the way of history, 105, and we can fail the way of history, 106. And that is what Nehemiah summarized. He prayed it in the same way. If we say at the end, Hallel, we should learn from the memory by taking all these psukim in a very, very meaningful way together. I'm talking now the contextuality of the Siddur.
That is Psukei deZimra. Six Mizmorim, giving the background that all the message of the Mizmorim are that we should understand it for our life. Hodu and Nehemiah, he is an example who actually did it and he came back. And all that is based on Shmot Tetvav. And I showed from these analogies in Sefer Tehillim with Nehemiah that Nehemiah and Hodu are strongly connected, and therefore they are the beginning before the Mizmorim in Psukei deZimra and afterwards, because that is their message. That is a very, very interesting and I think a very powerful and true insight. Let's take now a look on a few notes on the 105th Mizmor. And it begins with a beautiful text, "Remember, you should sing." And it begins with Avraham. And afterwards, I read from verse 16, and I want to focus on the personality of Yosef for the reason I explained at the beginning. It says in Pasuk Tet Zayin, "Vayikra ra'af al ha'aretz kol mate lechem shavar, shalach lifnehem ish le'evet nimkar Yosef, inu v'chevel raglo, barzel ba'a nafsho. At eight bo dvaro, imrat Adonai tzerafatu. Shalach melech vayatirehu, moshel amim vayefatchehu. So what do we see? Samo Adon levito, umoshel b'chol kinyano. Leesor sarav benafsho, uzekeinav yechakem, vayavo Yisrael Mitzrayim, veYaakov gar be'eretz cham. Vayefer et amo meod, ויעצמהו מצרב, הפך ליבם לסנוע עמו, להתנקל בעבדיו. What do we read here? That Am Israel had a lot of shlichim. One of the shlichim was Yosef. The next shliach is Moshe, as we see in 26. And one of the shlichim is Yosef. He was sent to Egypt and he was sold there as a slave. Why? Because there was a famine. And without that, without having Yosef in Egypt, he wouldn't have survived. Am Yisrael wouldn't have survived. That's an interesting way to report history. If you read Sefer Breshit, it's not that beautiful. We know that there was hatred. There was sinat achim between Yosef and the brothers. And they sold him. He has it. He had his dreams. He made them angry, and they hated him. That's not the way the history happened. That's the way Sefer Tehillim tells history in a totally different perspective. Why is that? He was not sent to Egypt because that Am Yisrael should survive. So here we have a beautiful example, because Yosef in chapter 45, when he tells his brother, Ani Yosef Achichem, he tells them, I'm your brother. You sold me to Egypt, but you did not sell me. It is Hashem who sent me here. Yosef had the religious insight to understand in Sefer Breshit that whatever happened to the family, yes, it was not a great family relationship. And he made mistakes and they did mistakes. And Yosef told them, never mind. Now we have a special shlichot. I'm here and I can help Am Yisrael, and that's the goal I was sent here. He redefines his life and his mission in life, Yosef. Forget about hatred, forget about the dreams, forget about the fact that they throw him to the pit and sold him as a slave. He's never ever telling that again. He made a mental shift in his mind. It is a shlichot. That is not the fact of history. That is the way he sees history, the way he understands history, the way he sees his life. And Yaakov Katz, Professor Yaakov Katz, called that history from within. Not facts, what happened objectively. Tell the history, how do people experience history? Yosef made a mental change. He understood that he was a shaliach. Sefer Tehillim tells the story of Am Yisrael, not with the facts that he was sold and they hated him. We know exactly why he was sold to Egypt. Sefer Tehillim tells the story the way Yosef understood it after 22 years. He understood he is a shaliach. That is the way Sefer Tehillim presents it. And why? Because these mizmorim teach Am Yisrael in the exile how to understand their situation. It's not because of hatred. Yes, we know there are many reasons why the exile happened. It is now a new way to look at it that we have to understand. It is in order that we survive. Hashem sent a shaliach Yosef. Hashem sent another shaliach Moshe. And everything was driven by the hand of Hashem. And even the melech, shalach melech vayatirehu. So that is a beautiful example how to rewrite history. And I want to say that for my father-in-law, who had a very special view to see everything in a broader context, in a much softer and harmonistic way. Let's take now a look at the word at eight bo dvaro imrat Adonai tzerafatu. Until the time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord purified him. The word of Hashem, the situation purified Yosef to understand his life as a shlichot, not as a result of hatred, rather than a result of shlichut. Imrat Hashem tzrafatu. The fact that the word of Hashem purifies a human being is exactly the message that David HaMelech says in chapter 18. Ha'el tamim darko imrat Adonai tzrufa, magenu l'chol achosim bo. So the idea of imrat Hashem tzrafatu, the idea that Yosef understood the word of the Lord as a purification of his own life, is a classical idea of Tehillim, and not of Tehillim as a book, of David HaMelech, the most authentic book, the most authentic chapter 18, which has its analogy in Shmuel Kavbet. And we spoke about the analogy of these two texts. The way of God is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. That is the idea of David HaMelech, according to his song in Shmuel, which is repeated in Tehillim. If that is the message of Tehillim, understand history that God leads you and God takes you in a different way. Don't think about hatred and don't think about what happens in daily life as an act of hatred only. Try to see the shlichut. That's an idea which Yosef, Imrat Adonai Tzrafatu, he was a real follower of the idea of Tehillim, of David HaMelech. Interesting enough that this concept of Imrat Hashem Tzrafatu appears only three times here in the Bible and two more times. One more time in the long chapter 119, Tzrufa Imratacha Meot V'Avdecha Ahiva. The longest chapter in the Bible, 119, says, your word, Hashem, is exceedingly pure, and your servant loves it. So if we pray according to Kuf Yutet 119, we actually take together what we learn both from David in chapter 18 in Shmuel and what is told about Yosef. And this idea from David is mentioned also in Mishlei, dedicated to Shlomo, who had exactly the same idea he learned from his father, Kol Imrat Eloha Tzrufa, Magenhu Lachosim Bo. It's exactly the same sentence that we have in Shmuel / Tehilim Yudchet. The word of Hashem is pure, a shield to those who take refuge in him. So what do we have here? We have a beautiful example. If we search Imrat Tzrufa, or Tzarof, we have like a story of these terms which appear, and I can say that based on the search system, it appears only in these examples. Three times in Tehillim, based on Shmuel, and reproduced by Shlomo in Mishlei. That is a beautiful example that we can have a reading of one term through the entire Bible, as I showed you here. I want to point out another example. It says in the story of 105, "Hafach libam lisno amo, lehitnakel ba'avadav." In English, he changed their heart of Egypt to hate his people, to plot against his servant. These words, "Hafach libam lisno amo, lehitnakel ba'avadav," the word "lisno" ve'lehitnakel together appear only twice in the Bible. And you can, with the search system, I can approve that. With all the search system, it's true. I couldn't find it somewhere else. What is the message? It appears in Sefer Breshit Lamed Zayin, where the story is told at the very, very beginning of Am Yisrael, of the story of Yosef. He had his dreams. The father treated Yosef differently than all the others. Therefore, there was hatred between them. He had his dreams. He is a king. And the brothers hated him. Vayitnaklu la'oto la'hamito. These terms of sin'ah and lehitnakel, which caused the galut, are actually presented afterwards in Tehillim 105. Remember the fact that they were in the exile and Am Yisrael was hated, that there was hatred from the Egyptians against Am Yisrael, vayisna'u, hafach libam lisno'amo, lehitnakel ba'avadav. That is a result of sin'at achim of the brothers. So we see here a beautiful phenomenon. Yes, these two words appear only twice, but they appear twice very meaningfully, exactly in those places to tell what began with the hatred of the brothers resulted in the galut. And we discussed it in another context that there was a hatred between Vayemar Rohu Varohu, they hated him, and at the end, that was the maror of the slavery in Egypt. So this Mizmor 105 is extremely sensitive to use previous terms in order to explain how to understand in a religious perspective the galut. A last comment, and I mentioned it at the beginning. At the end of chapter 105, we have all the ideal messages. We have all the three motifs. Vayotzi amo besason, berina et bechirav, it's Am Yisrael. Vayiten lahem arzot goyim, va'amal leumim yirashu. And the Torah. That is the motto of the Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, alpi Torat Yisrael. That's really the ideal shown at the end here. We have here a few slides, which I will make very short because they are a detailed work, but I want to point out a few of these examples because they're really amazing art of biblical poetry. You see here the analogies. It is Hashem's alilotav, action, his deeds to protect us, but it is our misbehavior, ma'alelehem, I hope these lists are helpful to understand it. We should remember his miracles, zichru nifloatav, but unfortunately our parents did not remember them. And we have here the word of Hashem gave us, vayten lahem arzot goyim v'amal leumim yirashu. Hashem gave us the lands of another nation, Eretz Yisrael, but since we did not fulfill what Hashem was expecting us to do, it is exactly the opposite. The word Arzot Goyim is mentioned again. These two words are mentioned again, but in a totally different message. Since you did not fulfill what Hashem wanted you to do in the desert, He decided Lahapil Zaram Bagoyim Ulezarotam Ba'Arzot. You should stay 40 years in the desert. But not only 40 years in the desert, that was the model, that not only the punishment of 40 years on the desert, all the future exiles should be, will be, are presented him. All the exiles in the future are also a result of the misbehavior in the desert. That's the connection between 105 and 106, a dialectic connection. And here we have 106 and 107. At the end of 106, we pray, Ve'kapzeinu min hagoyim, Ve'igalem miyatzar, Ve'amar kol ha'am. And at 107, we say, Yomru ge'ulei Hashem. We are saved, we are liberated. We have the same ideas here, and I will not present all the details. Let me show one at the end. 106, it says at the end, there were sins, vayochlu zifchei meitim, vayizbechu et bnehem asher zibchu la'atzabei kesef, la'atzabei chnan. You brought sacrifices, children. What a terrible sin. You killed your children for idolatry. These were the zifchei meitim. But once we come back to Eretz Yisrael 107, we should have zifchei v'yizbechu zifchei toda. The same words, and now in the proper meaning. And we have here other terms which appear in all the three meanings here. We see here that Yosef was the person who was in jail in Egypt. And when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we are liberated from the prison and from the jail of the exile. So Yosef is a very, very good role model for this trilogy. And I summarize that here. The three meanings, the meanings of these three mizmorim. Hashem led us. God led the Jews out of Egypt and brought them to the land of Israel. So they will keep his Torah, 105. 106 is the opposite, the antithesis. The people of Israel did not accept God's leadership, and therefore they were punished in the desert, and the desert of all generations, of all exiles. But they repented and they wished to return. That's going to happen. With these two, with this dialectic thinking, we can start from the history and tell our own story in the future in 107. Am Israel, the people of Israel, comes back to its homeland during the return of Zion, and they come back. So here's an interesting question. It is Hegel in the early 19th century who defined the topic of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So how does that work together? And I think here we have a beautiful example. There is a simple answer to these questions. Great men, great people, great minds think alike. It is not his, it is the creation of the terms. He coined these terms. But chapter 105, 106, and 107 are a beautiful example. Remember the right way, 105. Remember the opposite way, 106. Now we have to find the synthesis. That is 107, as we should see next time. We will not have the time to read it, chapter 107. I will close here for sake of time. That is a beautiful chapter which opens in the happening of chapter 5 of the fifth book. Chapter 107, I would like to discuss it both as a text, and I would like to discuss it with the intertextuality with Sefer Yeshayahu. That is the handout which I would like to show you. It is a bigger format, and there are beautiful, beautiful analogies to Yeshayahu and Ezra, Nehemiah, and Iyov, which we'll take a look at. We will start the fifth book, which is a whole symphony of Geula, of Hallel and Hoda'ah, the way David HaMelech taught us at the end of the fourth book, very quietly. We will learn it at just the transition to the fifth book in the Hallel HaMitzri. We will learn it afterwards in the Hallel HaGadol and in the Psukei de Zimra. And we will focus the next nine shiurim on the fifth book. So the summary is we learned about these three mizmorim, the trilogy. We compared it to the Divrei HaYamim, Tehilim, Nehemiah in general terms, and we will focus on chapter 107 in more details next time. That was the topic for today, and next time, I should fix this list here, next time we will talk both on the structure of the fifth book and 107 as its opening. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Rabbi Benny. That was really a beautiful class and a beautiful tribute to your father-in-law. It was especially poignant that there was, you know, the discussion between the hardships of Israel moving towards the Geula, which I think he experienced many hardships, and then he really had the zchut to be in Israel and to be with the grandchildren and to see the birth of the country and the development, which I think is just really very, very timely. There was one question that came up, regarding the Mizmor relating to Yosef, that at the end of Vayichi, Yosef actually does say, you know, what you thought was in ill will, Hashem thought well, and I was sent here to prepare for you. So it really is hinting back towards that pasuk. So how do you see it? You had mentioned that it's really, you know, a step removed, but Yosef himself points that out, and Lee pointed that out in her question. So how would you address that fact?
Thank you very much. That's a very, very helpful question. Yosef, when he was young, had nothing in mind. I will be the leader to save Am Yisrael. I'm a shaliach. He was not a chabadnik of a shaliach. Not at all. He was a youngster. He was a teenager. Quite wild. I will not go in the background. We are not talking about the family dynamics. What his father did, he bought him a ktonet pasim, actually led to that right away. And Chazal said, if you treat one child so differently than the others, you cause a churban. So Chazal were not short to have the deepest criticism, not only against Yosef as a teenager, but of the education of Yaakov. You treated him differently than all the others. Hatred. He thinks he is a king, and they are jealous, and there is hatred, and there is a galut. That is chapter 37. When Yosef was 22 years in the exile, he made the religious shift. He changed it. And there is no reason to call Yosef a tzaddik if you read Parshat Vayeshev in chapter 37. He is a wild teenager. No reason to call him a Yosef a tzaddik. There is an absolute good reason to call him Yosef a tzaddik, that after 22 years when the brothers came, he doesn't punish them. He shows them a way to make tshuva. I understand my fate as a shlichut. So he was convinced it is a shlichut. And he wanted to prove them that there is nothing in his heart anymore against them because they behaved properly. But the brothers did not understand it. The brothers did not make this step to understand, oh, it's a shlichut. Because they were guilty. When they came to Egypt, they said right away, Avala Shemim Anachnu, chapter 42. They are guilty. And they are guilty for a good reason. Because they did not send him there for a shlichut. So the idea of chapter 105, it was all a shlichut, was understood by Yosef in his second part of his life. It was not understood by Yosef in the first part. The fact that this wild teenager changed his mind and his attitude and understood himself at the end as a shlichut, that's the reason to be called Yosef HaTzadik. He made the change. His brothers did not. But Sefer Tehillim want to teach us, whatever bad things happen to you, at the end of the day, you can analyze them with the proper perspective as a shlichut. That's a very good question. I hope I could I could answer properly. Was it clear?
Yes, that was actually excellent. Thank you very much. And I will say that everyone is giving you a break today, and there are no further questions. And you have many wishes on the chat for a refuah shlema, that you should feel good and quickly recover.
Let me tell you, I was thinking I was very weak during the last few days. I slept about 20 plus hours, and I'm happy I prepared the shiul in time. And it was very meaningful for me that I could keep the date. I thought to cancel it. A lot of people told me I should cancel it. And it is a big schut to continue Dafka in such a time and to dedicate that for Yosef, my father-in-law. We should meet at Simchas and continue to learn. Thank you very much.
Amen. The participants in the class have asked for your name so they could daven for a refuah shlema.
Binyamin Chaim Ben Shoshana.
Okay, thank you very much.
Include everybody else. It's very, it's a contagious condition. So include everybody in the world, the rest of the planet.
Amen. Everyone should have a speedy recovery and refuah shlema. We look forward to seeing everyone next week in the beginning of book 5 of Tehillim. And as we take steps closer towards the next class of Tehillim, Pesach is approaching, and with it the Hallel HaGadol. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of good preparation for Pesach, learning all the Mizmorim of Geula.
Yes, let me add, please, that the fifth book is the beginning where I really started to, in my own studies, to understand the contextuality. That's where it all started from my learning and my enthusiasm. If you have friends, or if you got tired from all the lectures before, chapter fifth book will be really a happening and a wonderful story. It's worthwhile. I know after 20 shiurim, one can get tired and exhausted. I hope it will not happen to you. The fifth book is a symphony, a beautiful story. So I hope if you read it over again and again, these 44 chapters in a flow, you will enjoy it tremendously. And whatever you learned now, the techniques are old. You know them from chapter one. If you survived and you stick with me from beginning till now, now it's just going to be fun.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much, Rabbi Benny. And I'm wishing everyone to stay safe and healthy and have a good week. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.